I'll be reading from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Good morning. Oh, what an extra hour of sleep will do. It is a wonderful thing. Good to have all of you with us. For those of you who are visiting, we're certainly proud that you're with us today and invite you to be back with us at any opportunity that you get. Next Sunday morning, our contribution will be a special contribution that will go to the Stones River Manor. I want to talk just a moment about what that's about and what they're doing. Stones River Manor is engaged in a capital campaign to raise funds for an expansion at the manor. For those of you, I say that as if everybody knows where Stones River Manor is or what Stones River Manor is. Stones River Manor sits on the corner of Haynes Drive and Memorial, behind the strip mall now. It used to come all the way to the corner, but sits right as you turn on Haynes Drive off Memorial, right to the left, and it is an assisted living. They have independent apartments, and then they have some nursing care, but not at this point full nursing care. And they do have a dementia Alzheimer's unit. But the planned expansion is to add a skilled nursing facility and rehabilitation facility, a 24-room facility, so that the patients who are there when they need skilled nursing won't have to leave. And that won't be limited to those who have lived there prior, but it will be available because now, if you come to Stones River Manor and you need, your condition requires skilled nursing, you have to go to another facility, which is kind of stressful when you get used to a place and it becomes home that you have to move. So they'll be able to stay, and they will have a rehabilitation facility as well, because as many of us are familiar with, you don't need to go to skilled nursing long-term, but you've had a surgery or you've broken something, you need to go to skilled nursing for a while, and then you can return back home or to assisted living. So they'll be able to do all of that. That'll be a 24-room facility, and they will improve and enhance and have a new Alzheimer dementia wing involved, which will be a new 24-room facility for that. And then they will renovate and expand current facilities. They have adult daycare. They will expand that facility and have add a new chapel and chaplain's office and redo the dining area and all of that. Pretty large plan. It is a $4 million expansion. And so they are accepting pledges in that for 4 year pledges, and we'll be glad to talk with you about that if you have interest. But as of about a month ago, had raised $2.7 million of the $4 million. So that goal is certainly not unattainable, in fact, quite in sight. Christy Houston gave $1 million toward that, and then they'd raised and had pledged another $1.7 million, and that was really in the quiet phase of the campaign. Only just a few weeks ago has this become part of a public phase, so we'll raise some more. But hopefully lots of churches across our area next Sunday, November the 8th, we'll have special contributions for Stones River Manor. I want to let you know something else that I think is really important from a church standpoint. No one who has ever gone to Stones River Manor has had to leave because of lack of funds. If you go to Stones River Manor and your money runs out, you get to stay. And their benevolent, they call it their benevolent fund that pays for those folks to stay. And so in the 40 years of the history, no one's ever had to leave because they couldn't pay. But last year, it was, I think, $270,000 paid out for benevolent care for those who couldn't fund their own stay. And this year, it looks like it's going to be about $330,000. So those are ongoing expenses that the manor has. But it is a nice thing to know that you don't have to worry, because I deal with some folks who have sufficient income but worry all the time about running out of money. I told a lady the other day, I said, if you live to 150, you're not going to run out of money. But it is a constant worry as we get older. And it's nice to know that when they come to the manor, if their assets are depleted, that they get to stay. So next Sunday, our contribution will go toward, I believe, the capital campaign for the Stones River Manor for this expansion. So I hope you'll be prayerful about that and plan for that. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to help you with that. Kathy and others will have some. Penny, I think you have Kathy and Penny are both on the board of the manor, so they'll have some information for you if you've got questions about that. But a good program. So next Sunday, our contribution will go towards Stones River Manor. We're going to talk about Pentecost this morning for just a few moments. And probably one of the most significant things about Pentecost doesn't have quite the significance in the Old Testament that Passover does. But Pentecost, one of the greatest significances of Pentecost is the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost. And that's what we read from Acts 2, and we'll look at that in a moment. Let's talk a little bit about the background of Pentecost and what it means, because it's one of the three feasts where Jewish males were required, if possible, to come to Jerusalem. Okay? So it was one of the big three, and it's interesting that all three of those feasts really have a Thanksgiving component to them. And we have entered November. Hard to believe, isn't it? We've entered November, which is Thanksgiving month in our country. And so all three of these feasts really have a Thanksgiving component. I want to look at that. If you look at its introduction in the Old Testament, it's not called Pentecost. All right, so if you look for Pentecost in the Old Testament, you're not going to find that terminology. It is called the Feast of Weeks. It's called the Feast of Weeks when God, through Moses, was laying out the feast and the ceremonies. This is the Feast of Weeks. And the reason is because it follows Passover by 7 weeks. From the second day of Passover, it follows 7 weeks. And so 7 weeks is 49 days, and it's from the second day. So that's 50 days after Passover, and therefore the name Pentecost comes from the date that it falls on the calendar, but it is not named that as it is given out in the Old Testament. It's called the Feast of Weeks. And it follows the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. So it is a harvest time feast. It's a harvest time festival. It's a harvest time celebration. And so not only is it a celebration of the bounty that Israel has, and that's really what our Thanksgiving hopefully is about and should be about, thanks for the bounty that we have, but it is the recognition of who provides all of the bounty and harvest and things that we enjoy. And that is God. And that is the most important part of this celebration, is remembering that it is God who provides these things. Not only that you have them, but that God provides them. Sometimes we take for granted the conveniences that we have, don't we? I mean, they become quickly just part of the necessities of life. They become a necessity when, for millennium, people didn't have them. But now they're necessities. Our phones are now a necessity, aren't they? Except, you know, it ain't even been long that we didn't have those, but they become a necessity. And, you know, I'm used to being able to call, aren't you? You know, I don't have to look for a phone. I just pick up the phone and call somebody. And now I have quickly gotten used to, if I have a question, I just get on the phone or the device that we use as a phone. That's probably a better, probably not just a phone anymore, the computer that I carry around that lets me make phone calls in addition, and I get the information. It's almost like it's only been a few months that I've had one, but it's almost like I've forgotten what it was not to be able to look up the information very quickly. I mean, we just take for granted turning on water and it runs hot and cold. And I mean, that's pretty neat stuff, isn't it? And we have a tankless water heater at home, so it's always hot, which is a great thing. We do not run out of hot water. And I'm thankful for that because I don't like cold showers. Don't know about you, never have, and still don't, even on a hot day. I'm not wild about a lot of cold water running on me. I like it a little cooler, but I don't like it cold. What about microwaves? We don't cook a lot with them. I don't cook a lot with anything, if you want to know the truth about it. But we don't cook a lot, but isn't it great to be able to heat? And now, I don't even have to know how long I'm supposed to heat something up. Because I used to ask that question, how long should I heat it? Now, our microwave has that button that says sensor reheat. Boom. I push that button and start, and it knows. What about that? It knows. And it even tells me to let stand covered. Leave it alone for a minute and let the heat evenly disperse. It's kind of funny, but that hasn't been long ago that we didn't have them. You know, washing machines. What's wash day? It's every day at our house, multiple times. If your kid plays football, wash day every day. Not because you may not have more than one, you can't stand the smell the second day. But we're able to throw it in the washing machine and set the buttons and it washes. Nobody's in the front yard with a washboard anymore or on the back porch with the wringer. I don't know what we'd do if we had to go back to all that. We would cry a lot. But you know, that was not but just a generation ago that a wringer washer on the back porch was the convenience. The reason I share that is it's easy for us to just take those things for granted, forgetting what blessings they are and just saying that's the way things should be. So the Feast of Weeks for our Thanksgiving, it's a time for us to back up and realize, recognize what blessings we have. And not just in physical things, but all of the blessings that we have. Peace. We take that for granted. Safety. We live in relatively safe. Now, are there bad things that happen in our communities and whatever? They are. There are. But for the most part, those are the exceptions rather than the rule. And in stopping and counting blessings and giving thanks for the blessings that we have and the abundance that we have, the prosperity that we have, the relationships that we have, the community in which we live, our friends, our family that make life so important, it is really imperative and important that we stop and remember, from whence does that come? Where does that come from? Why have we been so blessed? And if we don't recognize that we have been immensely blessed, we are blind. We are blind if we don't realize we have been immensely blessed. That God blesses us. And to take time to give Him thanks, to slow down for a minute. Slow down for a minute and rest. Israel was to rest one day every week. And there were 19 other days in the Jewish calendar where they were to do no work, where they were to slow down and to be mindful of what God had done, to bring about a rest and a time to reflect on what God had done for them. And so this feast was one of thanksgiving and a reminder of what God had done. Because they were coming from slavery and from the wilderness into a land that flowed with milk and honey. And not only a land that flowed with milk and honey, but a land that was already developed. God talks to them about that, remember? He says, you're going to go eat from vineyards you didn't plant. And going to live in homes you didn't build. Because I'm going to run the people who are there out from in front of you. And you're going to be able to go in and inhabit what they've already developed. Now, did they do some improvement? And absolutely they did. But they're living in a land not only that God had blessed, that was already developed. And it was a remembrance of, you are here in this place with the prosperity that you enjoy because God brought you here. God has brought you here. You and I are here in this place and this time and are blessed because God has brought us here. And God blesses us. And it's imperative that we are mindful of God and His blessings. And it's so easy to say, but I hope that this month of Thanksgiving, and when Thanksgiving approaches, it won't only be about how good the turkey is, which I know it will be good, and so will the sweet potatoes. I know everything, for some reason, tastes better in the fall. I do not know why, but food just tastes good in the fall. I mean, food tastes good 365 days a year for me, but exceptionally good in the fall, and I look forward to that. But not only is it about food, but it is about remembering that God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And in setting out the Feast of Weeks, this Feast of Pentecost, in the later writings, not in the Exodus, but over in Leviticus and maybe Numbers, but I think it's Leviticus, is when God reminds them and sets out about gleaning. About gleaning, which we see most vividly with Ruth. But what is gleaning? What did that mean? Here's a time you're going to celebrate the harvest, and you're going to bring as a sacrifice the first fruits of your harvest. That's part of this. Not only is it a celebration, but it's bringing the first fruits to God. Not only your tithes, but also the first fruits. Because Passover is about the firstborn, right? Because the firstborn had died in Egypt. Now the firstborn are consecrated unto God. And that symbolism is in Passover. But Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, is about bringing the first of your harvest. That you bring it to God before you start to eat it. You bring the best of your harvest to God as a sacrifice, as an offering, before you eat, because it is God who has given you this. That's important for us to remember as we give our offerings each week and as we plan our budgets for another year, person, whatever, that everything we have, where does it come from? Say it. God. Let's try that again. Where does everything we have come from? God. And when we give back to God, or when we give to God, we're really just giving back to God, right? It's already His. He's letting us use it. It's really interesting, and as you know, when it comes to pop culture, I'm extremely, extremely limited. But occasionally there'll be a phrase or a scene or something from a movie or a song that really stands out, and I think I probably shared this one with you before, but I think it's Crocodile Dundee. I don't know. Maybe one or two. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. Where they're talking about this land that he owns, right? And talking about those rocks. And he says, who owns it? And his answer to the reporter is, what difference does it matter who owns it? These rocks were here thousands of years before we got here. These rocks will be here years after we're gone. That's like the fleas arguing about who owns the dog. And there's a lot of truth to that. God allows us to use the blessings that we have. But it is God who gives us. And the world went on before we got here. And if Jesus doesn't return, it'll go on after we're gone. And those things that we might possess today, some of them will consume. Others will long outlast us. And so forgetting the proper place of where things come from is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because we become then what? Self-dependent. We become to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so the Feast of Weeks, and hopefully our Thanksgiving, would remind us that God is the giver of our blessings. And not only is that an intellectual thing, but in our heart we'll know. Because it's pretty easy for me, and maybe for you, to say, well, I work awful hard for these blessings. You know, I've educated and work hard and try to make good decisions. And we live in a society that's pretty sophisticated and we're pretty sharp and we do good things and we got great leaders and all those things that we hear. And while those things God uses, it's important for us to realize if it weren't for God, everything else we do would amount to squat. And that's a little humbling, but it is God who blesses us and we need to remember that because these things will be here long after we're gone. Now, we do have a responsibility to make them the best we can. I believe that. But we need to be thankful to God who gives us, shares with us, allows us to use His blessings. And so when we give back our offerings, it's just giving back to God what's already His. And acknowledging giving the first is that God has given us the best of heaven, right? He's given us His Son, and He's blessed us. And for them, it was, God has given you the harvest. So return back to God what He has given you. Return back to God. It's an acknowledgement for us to know that it's God who has blessed us. It's God who has given us these things and not our own technology. David, the great psalmist, the man after God's own heart, realized, why did he have still waters and green pastures to go to? Because God shepherded him. It is the psalmist who says that we are God's people, the sheep of His pasture. It is God who shepherds us and prepares for us. And there's a peace that comes with that, isn't there? Peace with knowing that God shepherds us, that if we'll walk in His ways, it is God who provides us blessings. And it's so important that we not be selfish with those, but that we be generous in giving back to God. And then that we give to others. Because in this celebration, God reminds them about gleaning, which is where we're going next. What was gleaning? It was, don't harvest everything from your fields. Don't go all the way to the corners. Don't go all the way to the edges. And if you drop some, leave it, so that those people who don't have can come and pick up what has fallen and can harvest the corners and the edges of the field so that they'll have something to eat. God has blessed you. Leave something, give something to someone else. Provide for those who are in need. That's a part of what we're about, isn't it? Providing for those who are in need. Leaving something for others. Making sure others are provided for as God has blessed us. And so we see that becomes very much a part of what Israel does to care for those who didn't own land, who didn't have an opportunity that they could have enough to eat, that they could go to the fields and they could glean and have something themselves to eat. Don't go all the way to the corners. I had a lady that I used to work with who grew up in Missouri, and her family raised cotton. And her dad would never get a cotton picker, an automated cotton picker, because it left way too much. So they had to pick cotton by hand because he wanted to get every last bowl. And he could go to a field picked by a cotton picker. You could still see white out there. That was a no-no. Couldn't leave any. It's hard sometimes to leave, isn't it? I can't tell you how many times I've broken a piece of equipment trying to get too close to something. Those of you, have y'all ever done that? Maybe it's with a lawnmower. Maybe it's with a bush hog. Maybe it's with a mower. But I thought, and a lot of times it's not for the financial gain. It just looked neater. If I could cut just a little bit closer, then all of a sudden, whack, and it breaks. It's not a flat tire, Steve, but it breaks other things. But we tend to do that. But for them, it wasn't. I just leave some. Leave some for those who are in need. Now, for us, we don't quite harvest in that way, but it is a reminder. It is God who has blessed us. And are we making provision for those who have need? Let's look at the significance of Pentecost for just a moment in the New Testament, and then this lesson will be yours. We know of Pentecost mostly because of what happens in Acts 2. And we've looked at that sermon from Peter's sermon in Acts 2, where they're all gathered in Jerusalem now because of Pentecost. There's a large crowd. A lot of those folks had been there for Passover, and they have come, and it is a fulfillment of prophecy. And I want to look at that in just a moment. The Spirit comes on the apostles as Jesus said it would. Remember when they are concerned about Jesus leaving them, and Jesus said, but when I go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will come, who will lead you into all truth. And how important it was, the coming of the Holy Spirit, who now descends on those apostles in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, as recorded by Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 2. And let's read, as we've talked some about who the audiences were here to this crowd who would have known the Old Testament. And we've just read it in our daily readings just a few weeks ago. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you this. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter says this, what you've seen today at Pentecost was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy as the Spirit had come on those apostles. And we are living in the last days. That's what Peter's telling us, in that we've had a period of the patriarchs, we've had the period of the law, and now Christ has come, who has paid the price, has brought about redemption, has been raised from the dead as the first fruits of all of us who would raise from the dead. And that's important at Pentecost, because it was about bringing your first fruits of the harvest to God. Jesus is the first fruits of all of us who will be raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come. We are temples as followers of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. Salvation has come from heaven, and Jesus will return. Jesus, who has ascended into heaven, just as they were looking, said, "If you've seen him ascend, you will see him come again." Jesus will return and present the church holy unto God. What a great thought. To be washed in the blood of Jesus, to be cleansed, and to look forward to the return of Jesus, when we will be in that perfect place that God has for us. God has blessed us, and we need to be thankful for that. But we still live in a fallen world. It is nothing in comparison to the blessings that God has prepared for his children. If you're a child of God today and you need to come and ask for the prayers of this congregation, we would love to pray with you. If you're not a Christian, Jesus died for you. And what greater time than to give your life to Christ, to name him as Lord, to confess him, to be washed in his blood, and then to look forward to that great home that God has prepared for us. If you need to come, why don't you do that while we stand and sing.